It's there. Oh man. Okay, let's begin. All right. I'm really excited about this topic that we're going to talk about today. And this is a theme that we see many times, this theme appears in the New Testament scriptures, where Jesus is known that he will come or he will return as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. And there are some misconceptions about this phrase, because many think that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night for the unsaved world. Okay? And we look at the scriptures today, that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night for those who are not preparing. They will be caught off guard. It is talking about Christians, not unsaved world. Okay. So we look at amazing passages here. But I found this quote and I really loved it, and so I put it in the notes here. It says Christianity, what is Christianity? It means following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If someone is not following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, then they are just calling themselves Christians. That's for the sake of calling themselves Christian. But a true Christian, according to the scriptures, is someone who follows the footsteps of Jesus Christ, not just as a religion, name of a religion, just another religion. Okay. The word Christ, Christian, appears three times in the scriptures, three or four times, but it means followers of Christ. It means imitators of Christ. So it says Christianity, which is following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, is a lifelong occupation, not a side hobby. Let's look at this theme, this phrase. We'll start in Matthew. We'll be in Matthew 24. Remember, Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is very important, because the whole of this chapter 24 and 25 is talking about his second coming. These two chapters are dedicated for that teaching, because the disciples in the beginning of chapter 24 asked him the question, when will your return be? And what are the signs of the end of this age? That was the question. And Jesus takes entire chapter 24 and 25, putting some parables as well, to give them the details of his second coming. So Matthew chapter 24 verse 29 tells us when he's going to come. Okay. Immediately after the tribulation. So we know the time frame, right? When is he going to come? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So the write-off, the theory of rapture, that the church will be taken up in heaven before the 7 years of tribulation starts, is false, isn't it? This chapter 24 is spoken by Jesus himself. That's why if you read in King James, it is written in red letter. Okay, so whenever you see red letter, means that is what Jesus spoke. It's himself. Okay, so Jesus is saying that I'm going to come after the tribulation. So immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I like this next last phrase, because we don't see Jesus rapturing the people and taking them into heaven. What we see is that he gathers his elect from north, east, west and south, and he brings them to Jerusalem, because that's where he's coming, his mount, on the Mount of Olives. But notice it's happening at the great sound of a trumpet, and this trumpet is a seventh trumpet according to Revelation, book of Revelation. Now, I don't know about you, do you remember when we were in school, you know, eagerly waiting for that final bell to ring before our summer vacation break would start? Isn't it? I remember that, you know, that today is the last day and there will be a vacation, summer vacation for 1 month, and we could just wait for that school bell to ring and we run out and not to come again for almost a month, maybe some more than a month. Okay, we would be waiting with great expectancy, isn't it? I don't, did you do that, right? Because we know that when the bell would sound, and that bell would sound at any moment, and the moment it sounded, we would just run out. And you know what would start? Fun time. Isn't it? It would be fun time. For us, it would be like our classmates, my friends, and it was a time to look forward to. It was so much fun because we would have gully cricket going on entire day, taking our bicycles, and there would be no time limit for us at home because we were in the colony. We would play, we would, you know, have party, we would go with friends, we would play games, and it was just like eat, sleep and have fun. That was what we were looking for. It was some real fun. It was time to party, play some cricket league in the society, in the colony with this. We would bring this cup trophy and put it and make teams, you know, and play India, Pakistan and all that, and we would have so much fun. At the entire 1 month, we would not, like, we would not even bother to eat, care that we want breakfast, lunch, or just whenever we're hungry, go eat, but we were just down again, playing on the streets. You know, this is a kind of a picture that we are to anticipate a future time. Because this is going to be a time, it's going to be a proverbial bell ring when the trumpet will sound. It is going to be a time of fun, joy, happiness, you know. And we will know that all the inhabitants of the earth will know that summer vacation is here. The sound of the seventh trumpet when Jesus is going to return, it's a major, major change that will take place. It will be a change where great rejoicing will start. And we know in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ will rise up, and those who are alive at that moment, they will enter the kingdom. Great joy. Summer is near. Although Jesus did not give us an exact date, 21st November 2026, 7 o'clock, what, can you imagine if that was the date? What would everybody do? Be ready, right? We were ready. Oh man, clock, I think like it would be a big clock with times set on that, right? And we would govern our lives differently. And it's drawing another, like, 3 years are left now. 3 months are left. You know, we would be all so ready. But guess what? He does not give us the exact date and exact time. But instead, he tells us to watch the conditions in the world just before the summer comes. Notice in Matthew 24 verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves. You know that the summer is near, right? When we see leaves coming on the tree, we know summer is near, right? We can discern the times. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Which generation he is talking about? The generation that is going to see all those signs that are given in Matthew 24, which is the earthquakes, famine, rumors, and all those things that they're going to see, that generation is not going to pass away, it says. It's going to come in that generation. When they start seeing all these signs, that generation will see his return coming. In 24 verses 4 to 12, Jesus gives details, and we will go into that. I will study more on that, and we will be going into those signs, discerning the signs of his coming. So he gives a detailed list of events that will take place before his return in from verses 4 to 12. And to name some: false religion, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, and most importantly, he says, lawlessness will abound. And you know what he said? Something? The love of many will grow cold. I suppose. You know, because Jesus is going to delay his coming, people, Christians, his disciples, will start getting cold. He's warning. They will be not fervent. They will become lethargic. They will become complacent. They will start looking at the world and its pleasure and enjoyment and entertainment. And slowly, slowly, the hot, fervent, zealous love will dwindle away. He said that they will get cold. That's a warning. That's a warning for us. And isn't that what happens sometimes, right? You go for a wedding, prepared, right? And imagine the bride and the groom come. You're waiting there. And they come. You're all dressed up, you know? And they just like 1 hour. You waited. 2 hours. 3 hours. I mean, what's happening? Then what happens? The shoes come out, right? The tie is loosened up, right? It's hot. And you remove the jacket, you know? Isn't it? Oh man, 5 hours. What's happening now? And the socks also come out. Yeah. Sleeves are folded up. And what happens? You are starting to get relaxed. This is what happens. See, Jesus' delay. He's coming for sure. That is no question. There is no doubt about it. But he has kept secret when he's coming. It says, not... He says, the angels don't know, nobody knows except for the Father. So the point is, we must pay attention to these events as we pay attention to the season change when summer comes, right? That's what he's saying here. So when you see all these things that are mentioned in chapter 24, know that it is near, even at the door. See what Jesus says in verse 36. But of the day, of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So while we are not told exactly when he will return, we still must be watchful of the forecast. And we must recognize that the summer is near and discern the times we are in. And you know what? Right now, the signs indicate we are living in the end times. The problem is that if we don't, and if we don't have the urgency about our spiritual state, and we go into becoming cold towards Christ and towards things of God, and our spiritual condition and state deteriorates, then Christ's monumental event of coming to this earth will catch us off guard, like a thief in the night. So he is warning, Jesus is warning the Christians that you better be watchful that you don't be caught off guard as a thief in the night. A thief doesn't pronounce and announce his coming. Right? He comes at an unexpected time. He's watchful. When everybody's sleeping, everything's clear. Right? So Jesus is coming as a thief in the night, not to steal. The point is that he is going to come at an unexpected time. At a time when people will be relaxing and they will be thinking that everything is going as usual. That is what he's trying to say. He's not saying for unbelievers that he's going to catch them by surprise. No, he's going to catch Christians by surprise. Let's look at quickly one more place where this phrase appears. It's, you know what? It appears in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And again, this is a letter written to the church in Sardis, which was in Asia Minor. These words are spoken by Jesus himself. It's in red. And here he teaches us the state of mind that we should be as Christians. Notice here, I'm going to pick from verse 2. He says, I know thy works. He's talking to the members of the church in Sardis. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. So you are living. You are in a church. You're coming to church. You are part of that. But you are like a dead corpse. And why is he saying that? Because he's saying physically you're there, but spiritually you're dead. That's the point he's saying. It's just all for namesake. That's what he's saying here. And he gives his warning. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. See, this is what happens. Things get ready to die if we don't be watchful. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. So this is what we have to be watchful of. What we have received, don't let it slip, and hold it fast and change. That's what he's saying. Now comes the big warning. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. So who is he talking to? See? The church in Sardis. He's saying to the church that if you're not going to be watchful, if your love is going to grow cold, and if you're going to be lethargic, and if you're going to become complacent, and you're going to look into the world to have fun and pleasure, and you're going to make the things of reality as secondary and not priority, and you're not going to make the changes, although I'm giving you opportunity to do so, then I am going to come upon thee as a thief. Meaning, you are going to be caught off guard. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Although in Sardis, he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me, in white, for they are worthy. So we see two groups in the church in Sardis, right? Two groups. One is not who is not defiled the garment, and they are watching and getting ready. And the other are in the church, but they are not. So you see that? And notice the one who are ready. He says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Ooh, so who is he coming? As a thief in the night? To those who are not watchful. Meaning their spiritual state is cold and complacent. What was the church in Sardis to be watchful of? If you see, the context is watching their spiritual state. Watching their spiritual condition. The focus was on holding fast to the truth of God and repenting of sin. We have been warned, so we won't be caught off guard. Another place that this theme appears is in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And 1 Thessalonians 5. But look at this. There are what are we to be watchful of? You know, Paul gives us end time forecast. And we are to look at our spiritual condition with a torch on this passage. There are certain attitudes that God prophesied would be there around in the end times. And please, when we read the Bible, we should not read that, you know, it's talking about unbelievers. Because Bible is not written for unbelievers. It is written for disciples. Right? That is the point of So Apostle Paul here gives us a forecast of end time attitudes that will be around within Christianity. He warned. Notice. But know this, that in the last days, perilous time will come. And we want to be watchful that our spiritual state is not one of these. For men, Christian men, will be lovers of themselves. So what is the first thing? Self-love. They will love themselves. Oh, here's the next one. Lovers of money. They will be lovers of money. They will be occupied with business. They will be occupied with just making money. And we know that money is, it's not wrong and it's not evil. But here we see lovers of money. We should be careful that our spiritual state doesn't become like that. That we are thinking about money, which comes, you know, wealth and possession and all those things. Boasters. You know, boasting of our achievement. Maybe I'm a good pianist. Okay, or good at my profession, or good at what am I doing, and I, whatever I'm doing, and I, start getting boastful, arrogant, in other words, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and they will become unthankful. And here's another one which is really, really shocking. Not shocking, but I would say, like, but this is exactly what will happen to a lot of Christians. Unholy. Unholy. And you know what? To be honest, right here on Netflix, all unholy stuff is going on. And if you are going to be watching that stupid stuff, you are going to become unholy. And you are right in line to becoming, to growing cold for the things of the of God. What's subtly how they bring in the name of comedy, in the name of joke, vulgar. And you feel like a dumb person going to be sitting and watching that, you're up for being caught by Jesus when he comes as a thief in the night, for sure. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. They will not have self-control. Brutal. They will be despisers of good. I mean, they will hate people who are good. They will point finger at that and they don't want to associate with them. Why? Because they give them conviction. They will start despising those who are living righteously. They will become traitors. Remember, this is the reason where a father is going to be against a son and a son against mother, and in the family there will be division. Jesus said, why? Because one wants to live holy and the other doesn't want to. Right? And it's not talking about one is saved and one is unsaved. That's not even the struggle. The struggle is righteousness versus unrighteousness. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is another big one. They will have a form of godliness. You know what is the meaning of form of godliness? A pretension that they are godly Christians, but denying its power. But they do not have that power. And you know what Paul said? One remedy for these people: turn away from such people. Turn away from such people. Turn away from such people. And these turn away from such people is, again, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the people in the church. Turn away from such people if they are your parents. Turn away if they are one time a member of the church. If you find these traits in them, they should not be part of the assembly. They should not be, you should not associate with them. So these are the attitudes that we should be watchful of. Because this is an amazing list that we should be examining our spiritual condition. Am I somewhere here in any of these attitudes? And you know what? And that is not for condemning, that is for correction. That should be repent. Because Jesus' message is repent while there is time. The word repent means change while there is time. Okay, I'm going to be coming late. That's for sure. You don't know the timing. So those who are engulfed by these attitudes will not be able to hear God's instructions for them. But they will be so distracted that Christ's return will come upon them as a thief in the night. Oh, it is such a great warning, and it's so sobering, and it brings chills to me Paul also warned about the future day destruction here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 6. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night. See, again, he's talking to the Thessalonians the same thing. And notice in this passage also what he's saying. For when they say, they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Oof. And what are they saying? They will be saying peace and safety. Meaning, they say everything is going fine. You know, everything is fine. Everything is just normal, taking place. We are in a safe environment. Okay, Jesus is not going to come still, wait. And notice, it will come upon them as a thief in the night, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. He's talking to those who are prepared. For them, it will not be him coming as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the light, not night, nor of the darkness. So again, we see two groups in Christianity, right? In this, what? Number one is children of light and the children of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. See, God does not desire that we be caught off guard and in the dark. He wants us to be in the light. So the day of the Lord will not surprise those who are spiritually in darkness. Now, Jesus gives us different examples in this chapter to watch for our spiritual state. And one example he gives, first example he gives in the chapter 24, 37, is about the days of Noah. His warning of complacency. Remember the days of Noah? He says here, I'm not going to read that, but I'm going to read verse 39. He says, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Took them all away, that phrase. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What happened? Well, the flood came as a thief in the night for them. Isn't it? Took them all away. They were not ready. They were not prepared. What were they doing? They had become complacent. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were busy. They were just doing things normal of normal life. And they've got caught. So the point here is, they develop a complacent attitude towards preaching of Noah. He was telling them, flood is coming, flood is coming. Did it come? It did come. And then they were caught by surprise. And Jesus is saying, be watchful that doesn't happen with you. Though their world was about to collapse in the days of Noah, they still continued on as if everything were business as usual. And we know the world of Noah's day was violent and corrupt in their thoughts as well. Then Jesus gives another example in verse 240. And this one is taken so wrong and out of context, because when they read these, they talk about rapture. Watch this. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Oh, rapture will happen. Have you seen the Left Behind movie? Oh, it's so funny. And they say, and the teaching here in this passage is that the one who is taken away is been raptured, taken to heaven. The other is left for judgment. But guess what? It's the other way around. The one who is taken away is taken into judgment, and one who is left to enter the millennial kingdom. Now you would say, why? How? Right? Justine is saying, yeah, how? Do not leave the context. Because what he just spoke about, the days of Noah, let's get back. He says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Now these people were taken away where? In the ark? Or were they destroyed? Right? Is it the people who knew not until the flood came and took them all away to destruction? Right? And he is falling upon the same context here. He's using the same phrase here. Shall be taken. The two be in the field, the one shall be taken. That comes from verse 39. They will be taken into what? Judgment, death, destruction. And the one that is left will enter the kingdom. Because remember, this is the scenario of when Christ is returning. Right? When he's on the earth. When he's on the earth, what is he starting? He's starting his kingdom, right? And the one who are alive and left there, they will enter the kingdom, right, with him. But the other one will be taken into judgment. We should carefully notice Jesus' word in verse 39 we just read. He said that those who were not inside the ark were taken away. Noah and his family remained alive. Or we can say they were left, right? But everyone else was taken away or died. What took them away? The flood took them all away. So Jesus uses the same illustration of being taken away and being left in this verse 20, 40 and 41. That is, those who are taken away will die, and those who are left will remain and live. This is not a description of rapture. Because rapture is not even in this context talking about. It's talking about second coming. He comes after the tribulation. We just read the opening. Jesus is speaking this, right? So one left will enter the kingdom. The one taken away will face death. Then he continues, verse 42. Another example he gives. Why is Jesus giving so many examples? Can you imagine that? He's making a very, very important point here. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man, this means a master of the house, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see in this passage, chapter 24, how many times, I've actually highlighted those phrases in green to show you how many times it is mentioning about his coming in this passage. And here's the lesson right here, the whole context lesson. He says here, right here, therefore be ye also ready. That's the point of this stories and parables that Jesus is giving. He's saying, be like a man who takes care of his house. When he knows a thief is going to come, he's going to be ready. He's not going to be sleeping, right? He's going to be ready with lights on in the house, making sure that thief doesn't come in. Or probably have some kind of weapon in his hand also. Okay? And be ready. That he's giving this picture and telling us how we should be ready and watching our spiritual condition and our state of readiness. And then he gives this another one. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, you see this? His love is grown cold. He's eating and drinking, enjoying. Because what? The Lord is delaying his coming. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, here's the thing. Instead of focusing on trying to figure out the day and hour of Christ's return, Jesus tells us instead to focus on being ready. We must be like this faithful and wise servant who, even if there is a delay, he's still keeping himself in the process of being ready. So that means living the Christian life and doing the work of God and not letting down like this evil servant who said in his heart, the Lord delays his coming, start beating his fellow servant and to start eating and drinking. Living for the world. Living for pleasure. Lovers of themselves. And in closing, then he gives another parable. 10 virgins. How many of you have heard this parable? Huh? And you know, many people get into this parable and they get into the detail. Oh, they were all sleeping. The reason the other 5 did not go because they were sleeping. Well, the wise were also sleeping and the foolish were also sleeping. But only the wise went in. Let's read this quickly. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the 5 of them, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So it's not about evil virgins and righteous. It's not about that. It's wise and foolish. 5 wise Christians, 5 wise Christians and 5 foolish. And he's showing that by giving this parable about these virgins who are getting ready for the bridegroom to come. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And carefully listen to this, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried or delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Remember? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, the foolish ones, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, we have oil now. But he answered, I know you not. And then he gives a lesson of this parable. He doesn't leave us in darkness. So the point is not going into detail of this parable. The point is, what is this parable teaching? Right? And it teaches in verse 13. Watch therefore, For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. So, what was one thing that differentiated these two groups of virgins? Right? How were they prepared? Exactly, right? They had carried extra oil, right? Meaning, they were prepared that even if the bridegroom delays his coming, we would have enough oil to go on. Correct? But the other virgins, the foolish one, had just enough oil till he would come. But if he delayed, they would run out. That is the point he's saying. And what happened? They were caught off guard. And one more thing that happened. It was too late for them to go and get the oil. Time ran out. And by the time they went and came, that's the point Jesus is saying, that it's going to be too late. Watch therefore, he's saying. So in this parable, it was the job of the 10 virgins to be ready for the arrival of the bridegroom. See, it's easy to focus on the fact that they all fell asleep. What does the oil signify? And things like that, small detail. But that's not the point. They all fell asleep. So what does that signify? It actually emphasizes the length of delay. And the bridegroom took actually longer than expected. So much longer that these virgins, both wise and foolish alike, were too tired to continue. And they fell asleep. So the sleep itself wasn't what determined whether they were wise or foolish. It's not the sleep. But the only difference, as we noted, between these two groups is that the one was that they had oil, extra amount of oil, and the other did not. So we see that the point isn't foolish version came completely unprepared. They did come a little bit prepared, but they did not have enough if there was a delay. So in all this, what Jesus is trying to teach us, as you see, if I were to put it in a nutshell, don't allow your spiritual state to grow cold and complacent. He will come, be ready. Be in the same state of fervency, even if he delays. Because he's going to come. And you don't want to be one that is caught by surprise. And you know what is mind-blowing? In the book of Revelation, and that literally shocked me, in the book of Revelation, the same phrase is mentioned again. And guess what? By who? Jesus himself. In Revelation 16:15, this verse is recorded by the apostle when Jesus was speaking to John the apostle in the island that he was there, and he was writing the book of Revelation. And notice what Jesus says: "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So many times Jesus compared his coming to a secretive thief, not to steal anything, right? But to show that he is going to come at an unexpected time and don't be caught by surprise. So Jesus encourages us to watch the world events, of course, and ourselves mainly to make sure that our spiritual state is intact. And notice what he says here in closing, lest he walk naked. So Christ uses nakedness as a symbol of unrighteousness, and wearing clothes as a symbol of righteousness and holiness. We know that, because if you read in Revelation 3:18, I don't have that verse, but if you read that, it says he talks to the church of God in Laodicea, and he says to them, go and buy from him white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. So he's talking about righteousness. So in closing, last verse. To some, he will come as a thief in the night, but those who are prepared, he will come as a husband. As a husband. Think about this marriage. A husband, today things are different. So I can't even give the example of today, but let's go back at least 20 years, 30 years, maybe more. It was not like, you know, they are living for many years and then they're getting married. There is no anticipation or anything. Okay. But in those days, the wife, going to be wife, would prepare herself. They did not have any physical relationship before marriage. Okay. And they would prepare themselves. Okay. And the wife would eagerly wait for her husband. Okay. That is the picture Jesus is drawing from. Not today's stupid culture that is there. Okay. But notice he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Notice what is the wife doing? Making herself ready. Even though her husband is delaying, she is making herself ready. How? By buying and making sure she has good clothes, jewelry, right? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, and he tells the word fine linen, it's not about the clothes. He's talking about the righteousness of saints. It's a symbol that is used for righteousness. And he said unto them, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, for those who are spiritually prepared, Christ will not return as a thief, but rather as a husband who is coming to take care of her bride. And you know, just like the wife is waiting eagerly for the husband, even the husband is waiting eagerly for the wife, right? And Jesus is waiting eagerly to come and to meet his future bride. So just remember, you and I are not given unlimited time to prepare. Let's leave it that. You and I are not given unlimited time to prepare.